Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So what a weekend it was of golfing. I guess Rand Paul was out golfing with the Donald over the weekend, all upset about his the White House counsel cooperating with a fairly lengthy amount of time with the Mueller investigation. 30-some hours over the last several months. And again, Trump maybe didn't know about it, or didn't know to the extent. I'm not sure what the freak out is, but Donnie don't happy. anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world in Washington, D.C. Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you make of this? You know, you've got the White House counsel actually sitting down with the Mueller team. 30 hours, I guess, is what we're hearing the number. And I guess Trump's having a little freak out about it.
Well, yeah, you know, as a matter of disclosure, I wanted to mention that I have hired in the past, when I was in Congress, I've hired Don McGahn to represent me as he did for the Republican Campaign Committee for the House for Federal Election Commission issues, the, you know, filing things. And also he served our committee as advisory capacity on federal election laws, since we ever saw that. So I wanted to get that out there, you know, so I do know him. I have been to dinner with him, et cetera, and I have not had contact in communicating directly with him since, he's went to the White House. So I don't know what he said, but I do have an insight into his persona, you know what I'm saying, what he's about. I know him. And I'm looking at this whole thing. I don't know if people are aware of the BLT Steakhouse in Washington, D.C., but this is what started all of this, believe it or not. And you can't make this stuff up with this administration, the BLT Steakhouse. The two lawyers, which was Cobb and Dodd, and Cobb had worked, as we know, for President Clinton at one point in time. I think it was Cobb. Well, they were at lunch or eating at the BLT Steakhouse, popular hangout. They started bad-mouthing Don McGahn, White House counsel. And at the next table was a reporter who listened to everything and did a story in September 2017. Just kind of story that a lot of people haven't paid attention to, Rick. Well, the bottom line is that this insider, say, gave Don McGahn an eyebrow raise because sort of looked like they were blaming him for everything. Now, Don McGahn wanted to go a different direction. First of all, Don McGahn told the president if he fired or had Sessions fire Mueller, he would resign. Number one, he didn't believe in doing that.
Right.
Number two, Don McGahn did not want to just give Mueller everything he wanted. McGahn wanted to preserve privilege, you know, executive privilege, papers, et cetera. Now, Dowd and Cobb, the other two lawyers who have since been fired, they wanted to open it up. They wanted to, you know, talk about everything. That's what they wanted to do. And so they created the situation for Don McGahn to spend 30 hours with Robert Mueller, which I think is hilarious when you think about it, okay? They did it, period. So nobody should be in shock that he spent that time. I think in part, you know, it shows that he, in fact, is willing to, you know, communicate with what he knows. And then secondly, I don't think it's a, quote, John Dean, because that's what the president flipped out about. I don't think it's a situation where McGahn would be compelled to in any way have such a fear factor that he himself, McGahn, did something wrong that he would have to create, you know, exaggerations above what really happened in reality with President Trump.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's, you know, McGahn went in and said what he said. Now, none of it, honestly, will matter much, except Don McGahn won't be charged because he's not, you know, blocking anything or obstructing. But, Rick, I'm not so sure anything will come out of it legally unless the president sits down and answers the questions that Don McGahn was asked. Because who else can answer that? These are conversations that McGahn has had with the president, is what they want to know.
Right, and there's no way there's no way I see Trump sitting down at all, ever. And yeah. I've been saying that from the beginning. There's just no way he does that. But since you know McGahn, is this a guy who, because from what I'm hearing, what some of the freak out is, you know, Trump doesn't know what was said. You know, not sure on the loyalty thing. Is McGahn a guy who could be loyal to Trump, or is he loyal to country? I mean, where would you see him coming down as the White House counsel? Because as White House counsel, isn't your job to the, you know, to the country, not to the person sitting in the seat.
I think McGahn, and somebody may take this as a disloyal, I don't. I think McGahn is dedicated to his job as counsel for the White House. Not counsel for the president, but counsel for the White House, number one. Don McGahn has, you know, had a good history up on Capitol Hill. Now, don't get me wrong, he's conservative, he's controversial. And frankly, Don McGahn is the reason all these justices have been appointed, Rick. McGahn's the guy behind all of that. So the conservatives actually, you know, love him. But McGahn is more, you know, he'll follow P's and Q's of the job. Number two, you know, he's got a wife and two kids. And again, I don't think he's going to panic. I don't think he's going to make up things because he goes into a panic mode. I don't think he's tape recording the president. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to protect himself and his family and the position he holds.
Yeah.
So, and he's smart.
Yeah. So the tweet earlier today, or I mean the tweet, I guess it was 2 days ago or yesterday, the tweet that came out about McGahn being a John Dean type rat. Thoughts?
No, I don't see that. Of course, John Dean responded, "I wasn't a rat. I did what I was supposed to do." You know, but I don't see McGahn. And again, I don't know what he said. I have no idea. So that's all speculation. But as a person, I just don't see him getting into a panic, saying, "Oh my goodness, I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. I've got to start, you know, not lying, but start giving every piece of something to make this bigger than it is." And the reason I say that, when I was in trouble with the Justice Department, at one point in time through my lawyers, they asked specifically for information on four members of Congress. And I could have, at that point in time, said, "Well, yes, I saw them at dinner at Jack Abramoff's restaurant. I think they had a $1,000 bottle of wine." You know, I don't know. Maybe it was a $10 bottle of wine. Maybe it was $1,000. Things like that, when you make statements, then the government takes it and they run. They run with it, you know, researching who was the waiter, who, you know. And so I'm making a small, this is a president, I'm just making a small situation here, but they do that, right? So I just don't see McGahn as the type that's going to be there and make this bigger than it is. Therefore, they would call him, quote, a rat. But I don't see him lying.
No,
sitting there and impaling himself. No, I don't. I see others that have. You know, Cohen at first was lying, obviously. He didn't do this with the payment. He didn't do that with the payment. Well, guess what we found out about Cohen, right?
The rumor is, you know, within the next week or so, there are going to be charges.
Right.
So that ought to be fun and interesting as well. Let's move on. Let's talk about your favorite guy, John Bolton. He says it's appropriate to pull security clearances. Thoughts?
Well, actually, it is very painful for me to say that I have any form of agreement with John Bolton in my lifetime. But I would say that a review of all of not Brennan, again, the White House stepped all over the message, but a review of people's security, how they keep them, how they get them, who needs them. Are there, you know, 1,000 people like this? Are there 400,000 people like this? How do you activate? All those questions, I think, could be answered. Now, to be able to go at John Bolton, which I love to do, nobody should know better about keeping their security clearance and using it against the president than John Bolton when he used it against Obama. And he served on boards where, you know, the inside information, of course, garnished him money. I'm not saying he misused security information, but the fact that he knew it garnished him money.
No, I mean, this is one of those things, you know.
No different than Brennan.
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
And look, I've often wondered, you know, who should have lifetime security clearance, because I kind of understand the rationale behind it. You know, you want people with institutional knowledge, because you want to be able to go back and say, okay, how has this played out over the decades?
Right.
The thing that gets me, though, is we're at a time now, I don't know who started it or where this all began, but, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, I thought those people kept quiet. You know, they were in the shadows, and they weren't face first on TV having these kind of partisan things.
Sure.
And I'm uncomfortable with people having that kind of information tiptoeing around, you know, how they use the knowledge that they have. I don't know. I'm a little uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I think there's some things that can be tweaked with it and could be looked at. It should be done comprehensive, shouldn't be done on a personality basis or who likes whom or, you know, who worked for what Democrat or Republican office, you know.
Yeah, I'm I don't know. Anyway, the big news today, no decision in the Manafort trial.
Well, if I'm prosecution, I'm going to be loosening my tie right now and kind of putting my face in my hands. Just, you know, not screaming yet, but worried.
Yeah, because the longer the way the conventional wisdom goes is the longer a trial, you know, the deliberations draws out, the better it is for the defendant. And there's a possibility that, you know, do they find him guilty on one charge, two, five, 10, all 18, or none? I mean, you know, especially as this draws out.
Oh, yes. The longer it goes, the better off. With nerves coming undone, et cetera, people holding out, the better off the defendant is.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I thought on Thursday noon it had been over, and we'd be on to talking about the next trial already. So, you know, and I hate to be conspiratorial because, you know, Manafort is kind of a mob figure, in with a lot of mob types, we're led to believe, allegedly. Is it possible? I mean, there were threats to the judge. Is it possible maybe we're looking at a scenario where there may be threats to the jurors since we didn't sequester them? And, you know, look, you see them in court.
Well, one thing that puzzles me, why, if a judge is threatened, why do you tell that publicly? I kind of don't get that.
I don't get a lot of what this judge done, but then again, I'm not a trial lawyer. Some of the people say, well, you know, that happens. Some people say it's been, you know, it's kind of out of bounds. I don't know. I don't know why you would throw that out there either.
The judge says he has martial security. He's threatened. He has martial security. Then the jury goes home for the weekend.
Unprotected.
So, you know, if you're a jury, you're like, okay, who's going to be more mad at, me or the judge? Well, you know.
I mean, that's an excellent point. And this is why, you know, and I hate sounding, you know, like this is a TV drama or something, you know. But you can't not ask the question, because if you paid attention to what came out in the trial, it seemed fairly cut and dry. These two guys were robbing the Ukrainians. They were evading taxes. You know, all of the things that evidently they've been charged with, they're somewhat guilty of all of them.
Well, you know, there are cases where you can look at it and you can say, you know, this one, looking at it, wow. I mean, the things that were going on, I'm not talking about where he spent the money in the ostrich coat or something.
Yeah, I don't care about that, really.
The media loves that. But I'm talking about the fact that they didn't file money. They have offshore companies in Cyprus, and they didn't file money. Now, I dare you or me to not file $5,000, each of us, see what happens.
No, absolutely, and this is the thing that gets me. And it goes back to that, you know, that thing, you know, the, you know, if you're going to commit a crime, commit a really big one. You know,
oh, yes.
You know, I forget what comedian did. He goes, you know, if you kill somebody, you're a murderer, you go to jail, they throw you away. You know, you kill 20 people, they put you in a little room, and they keep an eye on you, and they study. If you kill a million people, they pat you on the back. Way to go. You know, you must have really been busy.
Yeah, very. I think this does not bode well for prosecution.
Yeah, I worried what the messaging out of this comes, because if he walks on this, it becomes, the whole thing's a sham, and it's all wasted time, and I fear that we don't get to the real issue, which still to me is the Russian collusion. It's still all of the things that they did during the campaign and all of that wasn't brought up in this trial. This was purely a Capone trial. This was about taxes. This was boring, and everybody hates the IRS.
Look, they're trying to squeeze people to see if they have more information on the president,
right,
and the campaign. I understand that. Here's the problem I think Mueller has, though. If Manafort goes to trial and say he's found guilty of one count and he appeals it, they go to trial for money laundering with him again, and then they go to trial with Cohen for hiding $20 million or whatever, you know, he did. And pretty soon these are trials, and it's going to be in the court of public perception, public opinion. These are trials that has nothing to do with what you said, Russian collusion. If there's too many of them and they go on too long, I don't care who did what. I don't care if Vladimir Putin was secretly in New York. You know, it all goes by the wayside.
Now, it's going to be interesting to play out. Any predictions? Are you not a betting man?
Yeah. Well, I'm with you from day one that Donald Trump will never sit down with Mueller. If I had to bet, I am going to bet that Mueller attempts to subpoena him.
Okay. Well,
that's what I'm going to bet. And that's a bold move. I understand that. But what else does he do? Does he, if he has enough, he's going to subpoena him and go through maybe an ugly long process. But if he doesn't and he just says, I think he was this and he was wrong and he was A, B, C, D, E, F, you know, then what happens? You know, nothing.
Especially if Republicans hold on to Congress.
Yeah, and then I also have a prediction that might anger some of my friends on the left, but I'm not sure if he doesn't move on Trump that even with the Democratic control of the House, I'm not sure they'll enter impeachment process.
No, I don't think – I've been saying it for a while, get ready for 4 years. And the important thing is that, you know, don't rely on on Mueller. Don't rely on what's her name, Omarosa. Hope for something coming out of Manafort or Cohen or go down the list of potential flips. Get out and vote in 18, and then build on that and vote them out in 2020. And
it's a legitimate issue.
Sure.
And issues that can be used. But yes, you're right. Banking on it is the number one mantra. No, you got to have other things.
I'm hoping for it. I'd love to see it, but still build for 18 and 20, do it the I don't want to say the right way, but do it the legislative way. Do it through the ballot box, if nothing else. There you go, Bob. I appreciate the thoughts, time. Great stuff as always.
Okay. Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.